Good afternoon.
Muskegon, good afternoon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Brother Chauncey. We got another great day, another great program in store for our listening audience.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And as we always start out with, we talk a little sports.
We do. I thought we didn't. So my Spartans getting lumped up.
Oh, ouch.
And I got my gear. My gear is better, too. I got some, grabbed some old jogging suits. I got some sent to me. I'm like, I'm Spartaned up now. I got basketball stuff and football, elite jogging suits. I'm like, now I'm in a stage. I'm 2 weeks in the hole.
Okay.
0-2. But
everything. I think it's more than that, Charles.
Yeah.
I think they got, 1-3?
We lost 3 games. I think we only lost two.
Okay, maybe
back
it's two.
Back to back, though.
Maybe it's two.
The Indiana one, that was a tough spiel to swallow.
That was a tough one, man. That was a tough one.
That was a Super Bowl for Indiana.
Should have won that one. That game, that one they let get away.
Yep.
No doubt. Shouldn't be you. Yeah, you can't lose to that tier.
Yeah, because Wisconsin, I can respect it. They beat LSU. They beat Wisconsin been getting it in.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah. They're a solid football program. It always has been. But, the Big Ten is starting to take shape to who the front runners are going to be. And, for those Spartans that hate them folks from the north, they're making a little bit of noise in the Big Ten.
And our
so
boys.
You got to keep an eye on them. Yeah.
With their little Jordan logo on there.
Yeah, they say that.
Michael knew when to jump in the ring, didn't he? Why he didn't jump in when they had shoelace? Whoever his name was, we were smacking him inside the head.
They say the sales is through the roof. Because, Michigan has always been one of the number one universities in apparel sales.
Yes, they have. Even when they was wearing Adidas. And I don't even like Adidas. I just,
And now, they can't keep the stuff in inventory, man. They flying off the shelves. And they haven't even hit the peak sales season after, when the playoffs come and the bowl games line up and then Christmas falls in.
Then basketball season, too.
Yeah. Yeah, media day started for Big Ten basketball here this past week.
That's right. So then I saw Michigan in their gym. They got every single pair of Jordans that ever came out with the amazing blue on them.
Whoa.
Every single pair. I was like, look at this. I'm like, Mike didn't play for
the
U of M. What are y'all trying to do?
It's about dollars, man.
They trying to bring a Mike to Michigan. Like, we need a Jordan in Michigan.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. The bottom line, everybody going to get paid.
Yes, they are.
That's in that program as far as revenue from apparel sales, tennis shoe sales, man. Great marketing move on the part of Jordan and his
that's iconic.
His folks, man.
Like, I'm a Michigan State graduate, and when I grew up, I'm going to be honest, I did like Jalen Rose and them. I love Jalen Rose and them. I got a chance to work camps with them and everything. That's one thing I can say. I did like Jalen Rose and them growing up as a kid, but I love Sean Respite a little bit more because he had that gun in his – he had a jumper, and he was by himself.
Right,
and
I like Steve, by himself.
And I like Steve Smith a lot, so I'm like – but they were never with full teams where they was loaded like that. And the 5'5 was something that was monumental. And Jalen Rose was left-handed. And the shoes they had, the Air Maxes, the black socks.
I
still wear black socks when I'm in the gym today with the players. I remember doing that. So I give, for the audience, that's the only era I love in Michigan, Jalen Rose. I like Jalen Rose. And I got a chance to meet him personally. And Jimmy King has a connection in Muskegon. So it's just – I got love for them in that one era. Outside
that
of
era.
That, okay. I don't got like nothing else they do. But that's one part. But you got, like you said, football, basketball season. I've been watching on the internet. The scrimmages, open free scrimmages for the NBA. Can't wait till that happens. Cleveland's back in the map.
Oh, yeah.
Football, college football, pro football. A lot of people getting hurt, but.
That's a part of the game. That's why they have reserves. Next man up. Guys that's undrafted. That's on the practice teams get an opportunity to come in and play now.
Man, you go from 100 and some thousand to a couple million. You go to like $1.5 million.
You got
to
be ready though.
118,000 to $1.5 million.
Yeah,
that's a big check. And in the NFL they get their check every Monday.
Okay, every Monday it's paid.
So if you make $15 million in 1 year, that means you get $1 million a week.
That's a lot of paper.
For 16 weeks, Tony.
Take this to the bank.
I seen one of them checks before. One of my friends played. He was on a practice team, and he got a check. The check was $9,500 on a Monday.
1 week.
Yep, we were straight. We were both straight out of college. It was 1 week, and he played in a couple games that season. He made like $115,000. This was a couple years ago, some years ago, about almost not 10, but you know, I know I was a couple years out of college, but that check was it was like $9,700. I'm not gonna lie to you, after taxes.
Well, can you imagine the kind of checks that guys like Brady?
Yes, $90,000, $110,000.
Yeah. Half a million. Some of these guys is making $10-12 million a year, you know, in a 16-game season.
Yeah, so imagine they seeing that hotel. But then one thing about it is that's getting hit big on the tax, agent tax, insurance tax, all that stuff is high. But that check still coming swole.
But check this out. Then they do the endorsement. That checks is like those are like direct deposits.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't got to do nothing for that.
Right. I see, because Shaq said the money that he made in basketball, he never spent. That money was always an investment. The money he lived off the money that he got paid from endorsements.
Man, Shaq's smart.
Shaq's one of the richest guys in the NBA, man.
Still this day. After the NBA, he like a magic.
He liked magic.
And Shaq did this. And I watch a lot of stuff. Shaq said, when he met Magic at the All-Star game when he was a rookie, he said, Magic, who do you know that I don't know? And I hear that all the time with, like, motivational speakers. And I'll start asking people that. When you start a certain level of life somebody has, they say, ask them that question. Who you know I don't know?
Right, because I need to know them.
I need to
get to know them.
So if you got the kind of character to say that to somebody, say it. And then see what kind of doors open up for you.
And you know we could use the same principle in our lives.
Oh, I've been trying.
We don't have to be on that level. I mean,
I've been trying my best.
Higher level, but still, that question should be asked. Just like if it's a taxation situation.
Yes, sir.
You know, who do you know that can help me with a taxation or a financial planning or get out of debt?
You're right.
Okay.
Who do you know?
And that's what the audience. Those are the kind of questions our audience should be asking.
All the time.
Who do you know that can come help me? Because what I'm doing is not working, okay? And I'm smart enough to know I need help. And you have to ask for help.
Yeah, you got to ask for it.
Yeah. And it's no different than you and I. We are willing to help.
Exactly.
So we're going to continue what we've been talking about the last couple of shows.
Yep, I know that. We were talking last week and was getting that budget one-on-one together.
Right.
And I know I said, well, that's part of budget one-on-one is getting that spouse involved.
Mm-hmm. Your family.
Your other half.
Right.
Yeah, your other half, your relationship. And we talk about spouse. We talk about really the real spouse, somebody that you looking to get married with. Two, you in the household. If you're in a household with somebody, you married to them. I'm just going to say it like that to them. I got to put it out there.
Okay.
Because I can have a flashback where I was living with somebody, and that was the wrong thing to do, shacking. Don't do it. It don't work.
Okay.
It don't work. I don't care who say we've been together 5 years, 7 years, and we shacking. It don't work.
Okay.
It don't work. I'm going to say that one more time, Tony. It don't work.
Okay.
You will lose that relationship in a matter of years because somebody going to see a side of you that don't have the right principles in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're married and you're together and you live together, it's different.
Yes, it is. That's why they call it marriage.
Because now you're looking at that person like that person, me.
Yeah.
That's going to the community, not the community, but God going to say these things about me if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do for that particular person. And that's a pill that I don't want to swallow.
Don't want that.
I'm not doing my job.
Don't want that on my resume.
I don't want it on my resume. So the first thing is being into a union with someone and looking at their finances. Because I can tell you when you're not together and you living together,
mm-hmm.
You see that's conflicting.
It's incongruent.
Yes, when you're together, you're not living together. You're living together, but you're not together. Where it's a union. Imagine the mindset that somebody has like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got this mindset, and you're in this relationship, and you want to talk about a budget with somebody. And let's look at this situation because every situation is different. I got a job. My girlfriend got a job, and we live together.
Okay.
So
what about joint bank account? What happens then?
That's my money. See that? That's the mindset you got. Okay. That's my money.
Joint bank account.
So there ain't going to be no joint bank account.
Nope. Why?
It's going to be you're going to treat them like a roommate. That's what I see in most situations, how they go. It's like we split all the bills.
Right.
This person pay this, you pay that. So it's never a conversation with a budget.
No, there's no financial planning
at all, because now the male in the house is not looking at that person as that's my helpmate. Mm-hmm. And I can make financial decisions, even though she probably makes some money, that I make financial decisions for us together.
For us together.
The submissive part is real powerful. And I'm not saying like women being submissive. I'm saying that a man having a mindset to say, okay, I'm supposed to govern this family. Whether my wife make more than me or I make more than her, I had to make a decision. But at the same time, when she say, all right, you the head, I should be able to at the same time to seek counsel back from her.
Oh, absolutely. You got to.
I got to be able to come back and like, hey, babe, because like, I'm telling you like this, audience, I'm married and my wife helps me run my business. She works with me.
Okay.
So I'm not her boss. I'm not all that. She the boss. I'm tell you like that.
That's
if I got a bad day at home, won't be no business.
Mama ain't happy.
Won't be no phone calls. Won't be nothing. Won't be no Chauncey.
Right.
So when she say something like, I'm going to let you handle it. I'm like, what you think, baby? I'm like,
right. No.
You think what I should do then? What do you think about that? How's that win?
That's good as long as you have seeked her counsel. She give you her advice, and then she says, now you make the final decision.
Yeah, because I know you in the game okay. Deeper than me.
Oh, I'm over 35, yeah, bro.
So I'm only 10 in, so I know you done heard that before when your wife say, you like, are we going to do this, baby? And you be like, okay, I'm going to be submissive to you. You be like, hold up.
Okay.
What you think of this, counsel? Like an attorney or like you said, taxation.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at my wife. Like, I really look at it because I've been in a past relationship where I felt like everything was mine and seeing she had hers, and that was a train wreck waiting to come down the road.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're going to lose those years of being able to jointly create financial stability and wealth. Because, like you say, you have the single-minded attitude because you're still single.
That's right.
And your thing, you know, it's like Sinbad say, you're always looking for the ditch. Okay, you never know when the ditch is coming. So in the back of your mind, you already created this exit plan when things don't work out.
Yeah.
And that does not help you when you're trying to bond and form a union of two people to create something that you both can share in later in life.
I got something I brought in. I want to just read some of the quotes as we go through this. It says, the cooperation of your spouse or partner is essential. Although you may pay the bills each month, you and your spouse or partner are both spend your family's money. So he or she has a very direct effect on the success or failure of your get out of the debt program.
Very interesting.
So they got a direct effect. So if you like, we about to save for this. And they like, I'm about to go buy everything I want to buy. And whatever, you going to save for that. So they have a mindset like, that's what you doing.
Yeah. It's single-minded again. Okay? It does not work. It does not work.
So it's just a lot of things like I know that it can't fly. It won't fly with me. I got to be able to, I can't take nothing in the house.
No.
If I'm like, oh, we're buying it.
No. You buy two of everything. Here, baby, it's yours. Because that's the deal. What's mine is yours.
That's right.
And what's yours is mine. And you got to have, you know, the designer dreams. You got to have dreams of designing financial planning, okay?
Yes.
And trust me, Chauncey, one person can't do it in a two-person household, okay? You can't have one that's saving and one that's spending uncontrollably, because that's going to create a rift.
That's a storm. I know about 2 years ago, we had a credit card, and I let my wife use it, and she has a debit card, and it's tied to the business. So I was like, all right, you got this credit card. I'll pay this credit card off every month.
Mm-hmm.
So then things got out of whack with it, and it wasn't right. So I was like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shut that credit card down. At first, she was mad, but now it's like the credit score is higher now. Okay. You're not carrying that debt every month, and the money is in the card now. So it's there. So the cash is on hand. It's there. And we still got another credit card, but I was giving her one, and she was just feeling like it was, I don't know, like you call it mad money.
It's the mad money,
and
man.
And it wasn't. So, like, I found the balance sometimes high. I'm like, even lowering my credit score doing that. So we had to make sure that we got rid of that and just kept it. We just keep one on the side.
As the head of the household, there are times when you have to make those tough, unpopular decisions, but later down the road, your spouse will look back and say, you know, that was a good decision. Yep. And that's why you want to be the leader of the household.
That's right. So you got to be willing to take that lead.
Yeah, make those tough decisions. Somebody has to make those tough decisions. So might as well be you.
Next thing I wrote, I said, next thing I have, it says, if you and your spouse or partner have trouble talking about money, your family problems, and what to do about them, avoid letting your conversations degenerate into arguments. So that means you can go to a place or say something, and you can talk about somebody's spending habits, but you with them. Okay. And you in this household, you can't point the finger. You can't. You got to figure out how to, not indirectly and not directly, but how to come to a mutual understanding that we got to get a hold of something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, that pointing the finger don't get you nowhere, fellas. I'll tell you that right now. I don't get you nowhere.
Nope. Once you give it a budget, take the discretionary income, and we know, you know, women love to shop, and that's good.
Yes.
But this is the amount.
This is what we deal with every month.
Yeah, this is what you get to spend. Nothing more than that can be spent. And then we're all good after that.
You're right. Something else, it says, may you find that talking about money is easier in a public place, such as a coffee shop or park. So go somewhere where you got some positive energy vibes at. Especially if you're in a point where you about to probably get garnished or like something bad about to happen and you ain't told your other half.
When you get hit upside the head.
When you've been living with single-mindedness and you like, I got to go to a positive place that you had in your relationship so you can be like, look, baby, I got something to tell you. Things are not too good. Then we need to fix this. We need to do A, B, and C. So because that, if you go to that place, it'll help improve the venue, but then you'll avoid something called, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, a hardened heart.
Mm.
You build a callous heart. You build up a mindset, and then now you start talking about your money problems with somebody other than your wife or your husband. And now you let somebody else creep into your business.
Ooh.
That's not legal counsel or religious counsel. That'll have you seeing a marriage counsel.
Yes, it will.
And then that'll have you walking down that plank called divorce.
Okay.
So that's why it's very important to have either legal or religious counsel if you're going to talk to somebody outside of your relationship about money. Don't seek somebody that you're not trusting.
Yeah, not professionally inclined to have that their relationship of confidentiality.
Because two things gonna happen. I can tell you two things gonna happen. One, they gonna talk about you behind your back, and secondly, they might try to get into your relationship. It's like always think about the man. I think about the man that's probably past his time. He think he still got it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or he's in a shacking situation. Or he's married. And he probably having some money problems and money issues. And because I've seen this happen before to some people in the past. And he's feel like he need to have a conversation outside of his relationship with somebody else about money matters.
Okay.
So what that does is that opens a wound for you to mess your relationship up.
Yep.
Because now you got a third party in there that's not even invested, that's legal counsel, or a religious counsel that's giving you some advice about something, and they're about to tear a new hole into your relationship.
And seen that it happen.
Man, I've seen it happen.
Seen it happen, Chauncey.
I do. I was looking the other day. I'm like, I got, that's like 400 people I don't work with. You think I ain't seen that or heard that?
Okay.
So when I talk to people that are married, especially guys, I say, man, get your wife on the phone with me. Let's talk together.
Mm-hmm.
Let her know my plan. Go straight to her, and y'all pray about it. That's what I do.
Okay.
I say, here go the plan, brother. I say, but your wife need to be in this plan, man. Or I talk to a sister, and I might pray because of my spiritual background, and I do A, B, and C. But I tell him, I say, your husband need to know. And then sometimes I get the husband or the boyfriend that be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, that's good. At least they agree.
Mm-hmm.
So they might come back to me later. At least they agree on a plan together. Even if it's the wrong plan, they still in their union.
Better than no plan, yeah.
Because I'm telling you, this is strictly advice. This is not telling you to leave your relationship and do things like that. I just try to put people in the right situation. Because everybody's situation is different.
Yes, it is. But
I don't know everything.
But there's still some solid principles that you work off of to say that there's a lot of things that you don't share with other folks. And, you know, finances is one of them. That's an issue within the walls of your home.
That's right.
And like you said, unless there's a professional person from a spiritual or financial standpoint, mm-hmm. with both of you in the room, do not talk about it, because the last thing that you want to hear is about it in the street. Because if you hear it from a third party in the street, then you know where it came from.
And that's sad. That's now, sad for business.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one thing I've never done, is share anybody's business, personal business, with nobody.
No.
Other than their spouse that they sitting right there.
Right. I mean, in our professions, we have that principle of confidentiality. You know,
I always look at it like it's me.
Yeah. Well, I know I don't want that reputation.
No, me either.
Of saying that I had a conversation with a person that was outside the client that I spoke with. I mean, that could just kill your business. So you don't want to do that under any circumstances, unless you have to go into a court of law where they subpoenaed you and you have to go testify. That's a different story. But yes. Other than that, it's got to be some kind of a court order to make me discuss those kind of issues outside of that room.
Yeah. So, like, the next pointer I have, it says, when you talk with your spouse or partner about your debts, try to stay focused on solutions to your financial problems instead of letting the conversation turn into a blame game.
Right.
It's your fault.
Which Woo. Easily happen. Most of them do.
Yeah. Okay. But that's a wound you can never heal, though. Because if you're bad mouth your spouse, that's your spouse. That's the day you asked them to marry you.
Mm-hmm.
And they accepted it. And now you're like, it's your fault.
Right. You're the reason we're in this mess. Even if it's true.
Yeah, okay? Even if it's true.
Even if it's true, that does not resolve the issue. The issue is that we need to get out of this, because we're together. We're going to stay together. So let's talk about
solution.
What kind of solutions can we come up with to get through this period in our lives?
Be solution-based at all times.
Yeah.
And just like you said, seeking the right kind of counsel and knowing the right kind of people. Like, I done had some people come to me with some heavy stuff. And it always make you think, like, make sure I get some guidance with some spiritual information in it, just for them to see good. Because I got to see these people again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to make sure you got a great relationship with them and keep that consistent. So it just makes you think that. Make sure you give somebody the right information. And you're not playing them, and, you know, they're standing connected in that way.
Good. Pretty good.
It says, both of you are probably responsible for your debts to some degree. Finger pointing won't pay the bills. Imagine you finger pointing and your rent due. You finger pointing and a light bill.
About to get put out.
You can't point to DTE, man.
No.
Say,
no,
no. When I get my boo done put me out, you know, we back together now. Just. We love each other again. Can you hold off another month? Because, you know, I have my stuff put out on the curb, and I'm back.
No, don't work that way. Don't work that way.
You know, so they don't work that way at all.
You know, one of the old collectors, bill collectors, you know, like when they call one of the comebacks from the debtor is that you can't get blood from a turnip, right?
You're right.
And they say, well, we didn't get the money to a turn-up. We didn't loan the lights. We didn't let the lights come on for a turn-up. So don't use that one. That one don't work. Pay us.
You're exactly right. But also talks about keep in mind that no matter how hard you try to cooperate with another one, money problems create a lot of stress in a relationship that we can't offer easy solutions for getting through the hard, tough times ahead. We can only encourage you to work hard at keeping your relationships in the right place.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, working hard for the money and pay your bills. And then, you know, the other fluff that's out there, you know, you deal with that at a different time. But the main thing is, and again, I guess we're going back to that budget. You know, these are our expenditures, our rent, like utilities, our insurance, groceries. I mean, that's the top of the list. Nothing comes before that.
Nothing.
Nope. No good times, no partying, no, you know, buying the designer clothes. None of that comes until those three items have been taken care of.
Nothing. So it's just the above line is just being able to see, like, when you find yourself in a situation, because life happens too, though.
Yeah.
But it's just unfortunate that people form relationships like they buy a house together and they're not married. Or they'll, you know, somebody will co-sign a car for someone, and you're not married, you know?
Yeah. I even had a situation where there was a death involved in a situation where they weren't married. had been together for years.
So who was the mother of the kids or the father of the kids? Got the money.
Yeah, go, because the beneficiary never got changed. I mean, if he never legally divorced her. So
he just left one day.
Just left. Went to Shaq. And a girl, they spent 15, 20 years together. And when the brother passed, it was the money went back to the wife.
Oh, man, she was blessed.
Okay. So, that's
a God's mission right there.
That's another reason not to.
Not to.
Shaq.
I don't do that. That cheaper to keep is. I mean, people hate it when I say that too. They like, why you saying that? I don't like that saying. Like, cheaper to keep it. Yes, it is.
Yes, it
is. I love my wife. We're gonna work it out. I was talking to one of the coaches the other day, and we was talking about something, and me and him was saying that one of my buddies who was saying that I don't care if it don't work out. It's gonna work out.
Okay. We'll make it work.
We'll make it work out.
Well,
we don't have no kids. I'll be like, look, hey baby, we're gonna make this work.
Man,
because I know the bills I done seen when people are like, I can't do it no more. And they leave and they go build another family.
Oh. You didn't think you had enough money in that relationship? You sure won't have enough for this relationship.
That's what you call it on the lean.
Because you have to give up a lot when you make that decision, Chauncey.
Alimony.
When you do the numbers, right?
Yes.
Right. When they crunch the numbers and the attorney look over there at you and say, I'm going to give you some advice, but you make the final decision. You're going to say, it's cheaper to keep her. Okay? But if you don't want to, we're going to move forward with this divorce. But every time you get paid, she get paid too. Ooh. She getting half of everything, from your Social Security to your retirement to your pension. She getting half everything. That house, you have to pay her out of that house. So you got to give up, whatever savings you got. So, yeah, when you crunch numbers, I mean, it's got to be a life or death situation when you make that decision.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see no way out. I give up my friends, everything to keep my wife.
Okay.
I don't want to pay no money like that.
Cheaper to keep her.
Yeah, because that's, I don't know. And then scripture talks about trust God with the lease, at least money being the lease. Because money is nothing but an agreement. Let's go back to that. Money is an agreement.
It's
a promissory note. It's agreement.
Yep.
It's got a government seal on it. When you cash them, you're breaking the seal. So it's like, that's it. I'm spending this seal. I cash this bill. I got another bill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, I'm like, it's an agreement. So if I put out a piece of paper right now and I say, Tony, this is $100. And if you say this is $100,
mm-hmm.
And you look at this piece of paper, and this guy ain't got nothing on it. He's like, it's $100, Chauncey.
It's $100.
And you find somebody else and say they agree it's $100. You could purchase something with $100 with it. That is. So it's the lease.
It's the lease. It's a purchase of goods and services.
That's it. It's the lease. So
Okay. Everything
else is a relationship.
Yep.
So the union and the things that you're doing, that's how you move the finances. That's how you move the finances. It's not like when we wrap them into our emotions, and the word motion is in emotions. Like,
right. It's a movement.
So finances can move you emotionally in a wrong way if you're not on the same accord.
Oh, yeah. There are definitely studies about emotional stability and finances.
Yeah, that's.
Okay, they go hand in hand. Oh, yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow. So, like, when you look at it and you say, okay, I'm in this relationship. Now, I'm not married, but I want to talk about financial stuff with this person, and I'm already shacking with them. That's a hole you got to dig out already. Because now you about to go get some legal counsel or some advice from somebody. And the first thing I'm going to tell you is you got to come up out of that shack.
Yeah, yeah. Because this is a losing proposition for you. Especially depending on how it's set up. 9 times out of 10, the lease is in her name.
That's right, for the guys.
The deed is in his name, or her name rather. She basically possessed most of the personal items in the household. So if it came down to who got to go, guess what? You have to go and basically leave whatever you purchased
there.
There. Because when the popo come and say, yeah, you got to go, you can't say, well, that's my TV and that's my stereo. They're going to say, no. If she say, no, it's not yours, it's not yours, and you got to get on up. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that go into play when you get to that understanding, the emotional connection to money.
Yep, I've seen I've seen some crazy stuff, like researching this financial stuff and relationships, and I've been in my own share of things before I got married and thinking that, like, my own reasoning would help me figure out this thing called life. And you can't go it alone without the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Education is good, but the knowledge of God is take you to another level.
It's priceless.
And you value a relationship way more than the friendships you have.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you got a woman and there's a woman that you love or a husband that you love, you won't look to nobody else.
Right.
Because you know that this is you in for this for the long ride.
That's it.
I wish you would. That's how I look at it. And it's a point I wanted to get across. Just being able to see that you're like, well, this relationship is the foundation of who I'm supposed to be monetarily with this person. And I'm in it for the long term. And I'm vested. Mm-hmm. So when you vested, you won't let no interference come into play. Imagine being vested in building something and then you got to take it apart.
Yeah.
I've seen situations where people go in because it looks good and shiny and bright. The grass is green. But then the relationship don't function well because they're attached to all these things. They got to have all these high-priced items. And it's nothing wrong. These things will be added to you afterwards. But just seeing, like, certain relationships and ties get severed, even in some divorces, and it's like a content that I don't like playing with and talking about too much, but I've seen it. And I've seen cases where I've seen people, the judge say, all right, she get half of everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
I actually seen a guy take a chainsaw, cut everything in half, cut a car in half, and drove it off the front part.
He going to jail.
He cut everything in half, cut the bed in half, cut everything in half.
Uh-huh. He's mad.
Say the judge said, I got to cut everything in half. You get half. Everything.
Get you half. Yeah, she get half.
50-50. Right. House, everything, cut in half.
What the half had to look like.
Yeah, so he made sure he went through literally cut everything in half. So think about the mindset of someone that's like that.
Ooh-hoo.
So that relationship, that was a struggle every day in that relationship.
Yeah.
Imagine coming home, you don't want to come home.
No, not good. Not good at all. That's what your home is your castle.
You're supposed to feel like, I can't wait to get home.
That's it, Doc.
So it's just like you look at it, if you got money problems and troubles, find somewhere comfortable, get around to managing with this person, work through it, and especially if you're married, don't look at it as a way of exit, because what's going to happen in your next relationship, whatever you buried in your last one, you're going to have to dig up to move on in your next one.
Yeah.
So you might as well dig it up with the person you with and be with the one you with and clean out the garbage with that person so you can learn to grow and prosper together. And say, remember we was here? Remember we struggled there?
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't give up? And you didn't quit on me?
That's right.
And throw in a towel on me? And blame me? You just like, look, baby, let's work through this together? Mm-hmm. Remember that? But if you just like, you throw in a towel and you bury it, you go to the next person like you just Mr. Charming.
Right.
And you got it all together.
That's for another guy, for another
and they
woman.
They ain't seen the chink in your armor.
No. What you think gonna happen?
It's gonna be a merry-go-round. It's gonna the pit that you tried to bury is gonna come up again.
Pillar to post. Okay. And you're gonna be homeless.
Yep.
After all those years, you're gonna be homeless because if you don't have a deed or you don't have a lease on any kind of these dwellings, you are homeless. Okay.
If your name is not on the paperwork.
Nope. Used to be. Not anymore. Because of decisions you made.
Lord. So I just, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.